A riot at the Bennett County Jail last week lasted for more than 2 hours, involved at least 27 inmates, and rerouted all incoming county 911 calls to other agencies so every sheriff's deputy in that county could respond to the detention center. Bennett County Sheriff Lauren Nilsen said severe overcrowding inside the jail made tensions rise among inmates, which led to that riot. Sheriff Nilsen is joining me live on the telephone today to talk about the riot, the response, and what he believes needs to be done before another riot like this breaks out at another Idaho jail. Sheriff, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I would like to start with, if you could just give me, I know there are certain details you probably can't talk about because there is an investigation going on, but if you could take me through what you can talk about when it comes to how the riot started.
On Wednesday, on the 11th, about 8 o'clock, our maximum disciplinary cell, there was an inmate in there that was acting out, and that happens in those kind of things. But he managed to break the fire sprinkler head, which flooded his cell and two or three others. When we approached him, he was very, very aggravated and so the or aggressive, and so the detention officer who was doing the walk went and called for backup. In the meantime, the other inmates in the cell block started acting out also and plugging their toilets and flushing them and those type of things. We had approximately an inch to 2 inches of water. Now, I want you to understand, in a fire hose, this isn't clean water. This water has been sitting in there for a long time. And so when those sprinklers go out, it's pretty mucky water.
Mm-hmm.
We were fortunate that they were all on lockdown. They weren't out of their cells, or it would have been a whole different matter. But we did wait until we got back up from our deputies on the outside, and then we also waited for our extraction team. We do have a special extraction team, similar to a SWAT team, except for corrections. And we were able to take everybody out. Video review showed who the instigator was, obviously, and he has been put on disciplinary hold in our 24-hour observation. We are doing a news conference here actually in about an hour and a half, and he will be charged with felony damage to jail property.
And this is on top of the fact that if I read correctly, the Idaho State Journal had reported that he was an inmate waiting to go to the Idaho State Prison, correct? So he,
that is correct.
He's one of those inmates you're holding at the county
correct.
Jail.
Correct. And that's another problem. And I'm not throwing corrections under the bus either. They're in the same problem we have. They have overcrowding. Legislature this year, starting in July, even they charge us, they give us a whole lot more money for housing them there. But the poor Department of Corrections has got to house people out of state. They're in no better condition than we are. But when you're overcrowded, tensions get a little higher. And this particular guy, I could just send him to prison, and take him there myself. They've got to have room, but if they don't, it'll be their problem. But then I also want him held accountable for what he did, because I don't want the rest of the inmates thinking, I know how to get out of here.
Well, exactly, right. So Sheriff, speaking of overcrowding, we had the director of the Department of Corrections, Henry Utencio, on just last week, talking about, the Department of Corrections and the overcrowding issue. We've also talked with numerous legislators, even the Ada County Sheriff, about what is being done, because this is, as you called it, a correction crisis in our state. And we seem to come back to overcrowding and the fact that our, especially the prison, those numbers are rising. So you've been sheriff for more than 20 years. What do you see a pattern? Do you see why we're seeing so many more people being incarcerated.
Yes, I've been thinking about that, and there's about two things that really come up. Number one, when we first built this jail, and even in the jail that I started with 40 years ago, we had one felony cell and seven misdemeanor cells. We now have, I don't have a one misdemeanor cell. All the rest of mine are cells or felonies. We're getting more people that are committing harder acts, murder, burglary, robbery, have all gone up, at least in our county. And it seems like we've also had a lot of those that have been put on probation and put on probation and then put on probation again. And at what point does the judge say enough is enough? And then they put them in prison. So, and those would be mostly on the drug charges. So mm-hmm. I don't know of any jail around here. I have 17 as of today of my inmates that are being housed by other jails, but the problem is finding places to go. We put four into Valley County just yesterday. Well, Valley County's 300 miles away from us. That's how critical it is. And when you talk to Ada County and Kootenai County, they're all in the same boat.
I'm speaking with Bannock County Sheriff Lauren Nielsen about the riot that happened inside the county jail last week, but also the idea of overcrowding, this conversation that we've been having on the program. Well, Sheriff, you bring up a good point, too, though, about Valley. So you have four inmates now in Valley County, and it is, you know, more than 200 miles from where you are. Then you get into this issue of if they have court dates, right? And that court date isn't in Valley County. It's in Bannock County.
Yeah, the ones we sent over there are state holds, so they'll take care of those. But you're absolutely right. I think Madison and Jefferson hold most of ours right now, along with Bonneville. And whenever their attorney wants to talk to them, whenever they have court dates, and they're entitled to be to every arraignment or every hearing on their particular case, I have to have the manpower to rotate back and forth on these 17 inmates to make sure that they attend all the court dates here in Bannock County that they're entitled to.
So when you say a correction crisis, that's what we're facing in this state, what do you mean when you say that?
I mean that we have been looking, and please don't take this wrong, we need jails. We need jails and prisons. There are people that fit that. We are the net where everything else doesn't fit. And I think the state's been pretty good, at least Bannock County has too, in our drug courts and our specialty courts. And we're taking very proactive, I think, on our crisis centers. But we still have, mental illness plays a big part, and we are not attacking that as we should statewide. Neither are we nationwide. That's a big problem. We just don't have places to put them. The Juvenile Justice Department, which I'm quite familiar with, has a very good program, but we can't put that into the adults. We don't put that same energy into the adults as we do in juveniles and trying to correct the problem rather than punish the inmate. Does that make sense?
No, it absolutely does. And, you know, we were speaking with some legislators just yesterday who are on the Justice Reinvestment Committee, the legislative committee, looking at what can be done, because it is becoming a crisis, it seems, at least with everyone that we've had on this program, from legislators, you know, lawmakers, law enforcement, talking about this issue. And one of the things that continues to come up is, are people in jail because of because they're a bad person, because they have committed a true crime, or has the crime been committed because of extenuating circumstances. And we're talking, and what they've continued to come back to is, you know, drug addiction, alcohol addiction. But if we don't have programs in place to help these people, is prison or, you know, the county jail the right place for them? Or should there be other places that they get the help that they need so that they don't reoffend? And what would be your thoughts on that?
I would agree. My biggest concern, and I'll take my 2 minutes here, is that the jails need to be part of that. It's not just fixing the state. If the state lowers penalties, that just means the jails are going to have more. When they started releasing them more and putting them on probation, guess where they go when they violate their probation? They come to the jails. And so there is a balance, and we're part of that. We're part of this whole ship. And we definitely need to be at the table when they're putting this together, because everybody that goes to prison goes through jail. And we do need, but it's going to cost tons of money, tons. We want evidence-based. That's what I found in the juvenile. They get evidence-based programming. They don't farm it all out to private. They have evidence-based programming. We tried private jails, and they just don't work. I'm not saying government does the best job either, but there needs to be some investigation into what we can do, because it's not getting better. I totally agree that drugs are the problem, but it's a false statement to say that only the ones that we've got in here are just low-level drug users, mm-hmm. and we put them all in prison. That's not the case. I don't have anyone in here, and I checked, that is only in here just on misdemeanor possession of drugs. I've got tons that are in here on selling drugs, and those that have been doing drugs 4 or 5 times, and they just don't respond to treatment. And those are some of the issues that, if we're serious about this, we need to tackle, and it can be done. But it's not going to be done by a small solution put together in a month or two and say, all right, let's go on to the next problem. This starts from families breakdown. This starts from schools. This starts from it's a society issue. And as one that's been in law enforcement for 40 years, I've seen it come about, and it's a lot larger than just bad guys doing bad things, and so we have to keep them away from us. It's society allowing the breakdown of society and families and cities and cultures.
Well, Sheriff,
we need to work on it. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm done with my speech.
Well, I appreciate that, and that's what we brought you on for, is to get your perspective. And I do appreciate your perspective, and I need to go into a break. So thank you so much. My guest today, Bannock County Sheriff Lauren Nielsen, thanks so much for joining us today. Do appreciate the conversation.